The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
The NHL draft is behind us. A lot of trades and the stars make their selections. Let's talk about it on Spits and Suds with David Castillo and his Substack called Star Stack. And David has been appearing across North America on various shows talking about the draft. So we'll get his expertise in just a second. Boy, what a weekend to think about the on-time experts. Man, it is hot outside and you feel it. And hopefully it's nice and cool inside. I know it's nice and cool inside my house because I had the on-time expert service my HVAC system, and it is working really, really well. Just put a new filter in there. I'm feeling good about my system, and that's because of the on-time experts. And just for $59 for first-time customers, you can feel good about your HVAC system and know that it might last a couple more years than expected because they'll get rid of that dirt. They'll get rid of that grime. They'll get rid of that dust. They will mention to you any issues that might happen in the future, and they record it for the future so you can call them. They can come back. They can fix it immediately. And speaking about fixing it immediately, I had a friend who their HVAC went, and it took a technician 2 to 3 days to get out there. They said, finally, it's cool in my house. Same day service guaranteed with on-time experts. You don't have to wait 2 to 3 days. You don't have to check anyone into a hotel to make sure that they're cool and they're safe. Same day service guaranteed. And while they're there, you might as well get done the $99 first-time customer drain cleaning. That's also an awesome special. They're the best in DFW. You know what? 4.8 out of 5 stars, nearly 6,000 reviews. I can't say enough about them. Proud supporter of the Dallas Stars, the official HVAC company. And of course, you know, they're the official sponsor of Spits and Suds. They are the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. David Castillo's been covering the draft. He is a knowledge bomb as far as the Stars picks and also every other pick. How are you, David? Always great to talk with you.
I'm doing well. You know why? Because there's really nothing to dramatically overreact to these days, right? I mean, it's pretty quiet in Stars land. We got nothing to, you know, sweat bullets over, and doing well, especially with you, Gavin.
Well, this has been a interesting offseason, not just with the Dallas Stars, but I mean, the flurry of activity prior to free agency. One of the notable aspects that I recognized is the amount of first round draft picks that were being used to pick up players that can help these teams now.
I mean, like used effectively or just simply used? Because yeah, as we saw with Chicago, well, by the way, you know what? Actually, never mind. So yeah, like it obviously depends, right? I think what Ottawa did, you know, acquiring like William Eklund, yep. I thought that was a really solid lateral move for them. Yeah.
Yep.
Whereas Chicago adding Bowen Byram, the guy that got drafted in his place, right, fourth overall, Buffalo, Daxon Rudolph, that's a player that is arguably has a higher ceiling than Byram, is obviously going to cost nothing when he does play on the roster. And it's hard not to scratch your head and also hard not to feel better about yourself knowing that like, hey, you know what? I could actually run a hockey team. I could be a GM over Kyle Davidson because all I would have to do is not make moves that idiotic. So, you know, depending on kind of what trade we're talking about, yes, there were some teams I think leveraged their picks well. I think San Jose was a great example of one of those teams. And I think the difference is that the teams that leveraged their trades well were teams that have a clear vision in mind, like a San Jose. Whereas I look at a team like Chicago, you know, making that move, and I'm like, y'all need a wing for Connor Bedard. Like, how does Bowen Byram, like, fix that? I mean, yeah. I feel like a fourth overall pick, that could have got you a pretty solid winger for Bedard. And the irony is, the craziest thing is that they gave up Louis Crevier. He's, I think, might end up being better. Now, granted, I think Byram is a solid young player, and he was surprisingly effective in these last playoffs. Like, I think a big part of how, like, I think the Sabres blue line kind of held up is that a player like Byram, who's kind of, you know, underperformed, granted a lot of that he's owed to concussions, really stepped up. So I don't think Byram is a bad player at all, but my God, like, what's the vision?
Yeah.
What's the vision?
Well, let's talk about the trades that happen within the Central Division because they will have a direct impact on the Stars. Let's start with the St. Louis Blues and the trades they made. They acquired the much, let's just say, he's been getting a lot of phone calls about him, Mason McTavish, traded to the Blues by the Ducks for two first-round picks, the number 15 and number 29 overall picks. And then the St. Louis Blues also acquired defenseman Brandon Carlo. I really like this trade for St. Louis. The Blues didn't have to give up that much for Carlo when it's interesting, just a few years back, what the Leafs had to give up to get Carlo from the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Like, it's... I think this is kind of like a weird... Like, St. Louis, of course, would be the team that... is sort of the lukewarm gets the lukewarm reaction because I feel like there's something there to Mason McTavish. Like, it's, yes, we're talking about a player that hasn't really delivered in comparison or in proportion to his draft slot. And, you know, he was healthy scratch this postseason, right? It's because, well, you know, the effort level has been questioned, and for good reason. It's not always there. And you kind of wonder how a guy who has pro size and decent skill seems like has the perfect package, kind of can't put it all together. And so this is clearly like a reclamation bet, kind of like with like Pierre-Luc Dubois, right? And so I don't really, I think what they gave up, like, it's not what I would have given up for, you know, Mason McTavish, but also, I can at least kind of see how he might really kind of help the team. And I can see like why a team would be interested in sort of in being able to plug into the lineup. It is a little awkward because, well, at the same time, they trade away Jordan Kyrou, who I think would have been really great, say, like next to Mason McTavish. So not really sure what's kind of going on there. But to be fair, you know, St. Louis they do have a lot of solid wingers in the pipeline. Especially with someone like, you know, Justin Carboneau, which I think is, you know, you start adding all these young players they have especially some of the young wingers. And I think it makes sense. And then, of course, you know, they also get Connor McMichael, who had kind of a similar amount of points to Kyrou this year. Granted, a lot of that, you know, we know that Kyrou is a better player than Connor McMichael, but nonetheless, I thought what St. Louis got back in the Kyrou trade was really good. I didn't feel like they necessarily like took steps forward in sort of adding Mace McTavish, but there's potential there. And so it's not the worst stuff, not the worst deal to go down.
Well, Chicago made another trade, and I think the Ottawa Senators, I think this is a good risk from GM Steve Staios, picking up Andre Burakovsky, who had a tough second half of the year, had a real good start to the season, but then struggled in the back half. He's in the last year of a $5.5 million hit. Ottawa picks him up. You know what? I think that's some really good secondary scoring for Ottawa as they continue to try to get some pieces after the loss of Tkachuk to Florida.
Yeah, and I think I've actually always loved Burakovsky's game. For those who don't remember, he's also the guy that had a hard enough shot to power right through the net, literally.
Yeah, but, two-time Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah. Really, really, I think for most of his career, just been super underrated. Not what he once was, but still an effective player. And I think you can, again, another example of a team that I thought, like, you know, had pretty good vision, which is that, well, traded away Brady Tkachuk. You know, we got some futures, but we still have a team that wants to be competitive. And so kind of, you know, built. I mean, I don't really think you can build a player like Brady. You know, you can't Megazord, you know, Brady Tkachuk. But nonetheless, to the extent you can kind of build in the aggregate, add in Eklund as well as Burakovsky, I think is pretty tidy work. And I think they did a pretty good job. And Senators are still like a really interesting team because, yep, especially for, like, you know, the chart huggers, you know, Sterling Analytics, right? A team that has dominated expected goal share. They don't dominate on the score in the box score, however, but nonetheless, if they're a team that can kind of continue kind of make these sort of like, you know, kind of slowly add surplus value. And also, you know, they have a player like Carter Yakimchuk, you know, to add to the blue line, hopefully get a full season next year. They're a solid team. They're in the Atlantic though, man. That's so tough. Like, it doesn't matter how good they are. If some of the other teams are better, then that's just going to be really difficult.
Another trade that was made after just 1 year. That's what's so fascinating. JJ Paterka, who I know you were a big fan of, David. He goes to the Bruins in exchange for the number 23 overall pick and a 2028 first round pick. So two first round picks for the forward, which I guess you would say in 1 year in Utah was a disappointment, considering that Josh Doan, what he did for Buffalo in that trade.
It's you know, I'm actually glad Utah did that because they didn't sort of fall victim to the sunk cost fallacy, right? Paterka, I think he definitely has more to show, and there are a lot of raw tools that you really like in Paterka's game. But at the same time, it wasn't working, so no big deal. You know, it's the trade is not going to be, you know, looked kindly on after the fact, right? Because you have basically kind of nothing to show for you know, Josh Doan and Michael Kesering, but nonetheless, like I was going to start like speculating about kind of what this sets up for Utah in the future, but we can table that for another time. But I really dig it, and I'm actually surprised that like Boston is kind of all teams, is kind of making some quality moves, because you throw in like someone like James Higgins, who, you know, maybe could see some playing time next year. And all of a sudden, like a Boston team that has traditionally been kind of older and slower and like big and mean is actually kind of, you know, get a little smaller, a little faster, you know, kind of playing more towards, I think, the style that they're going to need to compete with teams like Carolina.
And finally, the Colorado Avalanche, semi-active, trading away Valeri Nichushkin to Columbus. Jack Drury goes to Nashville, and Drury, just a few hours ago, it was announced, signs a 5-year, $22.5 million contract to stay in Nashville and be a Predator for a bit. So really interesting. Obviously, Colorado loses their GM to Nashville, and he must have been a big Jack Drury guy.
Well, I actually kind of like it for all teams involved, right? You know, Columbus, you know, adds a two-way winger. You know, we're all familiar with Nichushkin's game, sort of exactly the kind of player that Columbus covets and will fit well into that system. Even if Don Waddell is doing everything he can to, like, just, you know, burn that franchise to the ground, but neither here nor there. And Jack Drury, the deal that he got is a little insane to me, even though I think he is a really solid depth player. But it's, as far as like Colorado is concerned, I mean, these are the moves that you have to make. You know, it's sometimes you have to cut bait. Sometimes you have to, you know what, we're not going to be able to afford this player. We're not going to be able to afford other moves in the future, and we don't want to handcuff ourselves. So thank you for your service, but, you know, we got to let you go. And that's, you know, the kind of moves that sometimes I would like to see, you know, one of my favorite teams make, for example.
And yeah, I think that's an interesting aspect is you see teams making those risky trades, and you do wonder, like, you know, the Stars at some point need to say, this is going to be a loss for us, but we feel a greater gain in the future because it's going to give us some kind of flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and we don't have to go down the road. We're going to have, again, like, we're plenty of Stars talk, you know, just in the immediate future, but it is something that every GM needs to kind of have in their bag. I mean, it sounds like Carolina, you know, sort of realizing, you know, the Kotkaniemi experiment is over, is kind of on that path. And it's not like a sort of, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. What's not okay is to continue making the same mistake, right? To make a mistake and then say, well, we're going to live with it and we're not going to do anything to, you know, anything to minimize that loss. Sometimes you just cut those losses and that's okay. But, you know, what you don't do is kind of tie yourself in a knot with, you know, sort of pretending to kind of stick with a plan that works when it hasn't. And, I mean, like I said, again, some of the discussion I feel like kind of feeds into so many of the topics. We can fall down a rabbit hole. So whatever other trade you want to talk about or the draft, if you want to get into it, whatever you got next, man, I'm ready to move on.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, let's move to the draft where the Dallas Stars did not have a first round pick. Their first pick was in the second round, 59th overall. And they picked up from the Tri-City Americans of the WHL, Jacob Vanacek. So tell us about the 18-year-old and what you like or don't like about him and where you had him ranked.
I love his pick. A lot of my draft coverage was kind of, I was sort of focused on players that would absolutely be in the second round. And most of those players were players that I figured would go in the middle or late second round and beyond, like Samu Alari, the big Finnish right shot defender who I actually ended up, Dallas ended up passing on. And I thought for sure, like, oh man, that would be perfect. And one of the players, along with Juho Pippurainen and what was the other guy's name? Tommy Blail, Xavier Villanueva, like some of these defenders that I just didn't think would be available was Vanacek. And he's not a guy that was expected to go in the first round, but he was expected to go kind of at the beginning of the second, right? One of those like borderline first line talents, kind of like Emil Hemming, right? But on the second half. And it's kind of amazing. Like I love this pick. I'm going to say some critical things about the other picks in this draft. So I'm glad that I can shower Dallas with nothing but love, because for people that don't know, his team, the Tri-City Americans, sucked. Like they were awful. So obviously, you know, that tends to affect player performance, right? When you don't have talented teammates, you don't have a, you know, in an ideal environment, especially for development, you know, that can affect performance. And it often does in some of these prospects. And that didn't stop him. You know, he's represented the Czech team, right, for a couple World Juniors now. And what he is going to give Dallas, and I'm going to throw out this comp, and I hate throwing out this comp because I feel like it's going to get misunderstood. When you kind of talk about comps, the idea is that, well, in the broad strokes, some of the sketches, if you squint your eyes, you can kind of see elements of this player. And the player that he reminds me of is Jackson Lacombe. This is a smooth skating, you know, rush defender who is what I would assume is someone that's going to like essentially kind of replace S. Lindell once his time is done, once his watch has ended. And so what Dallas gets is a really clean, quality, intelligent, I would say defensive defenseman, but only in type. Because he's still very, very skilled. A lot of people make a big deal about his shot, and he has a good shot. I always try to look at like, well, what offense tends to translate in the NHL? I don't think his shot's going to translate. I think what will translate is the fact that he makes very crisp decisions, plays with pace, a really effortless and just sublime skater, and it's a fantastic pick, man. I don't have anything. All the stuff that like the critical stuff about players like this is always the same thing. You heard it from like Miro Heiskanen. You heard it about Jake Sanderson. We really great defense, but kind of a limited offensive ceiling, you know, which is like complaining about it like a forward, like insane production, super skilled, doesn't defend well. You know, like I get that, yeah. You know, you want players to approximate kind of some level of perfection or at least like an ability to kind of strive towards it. He's not that, but man, he is just, I'm super pumped. And I hated that I went to like a Rush show, friends that, you know, were out of town, were in town, and I didn't get to dramatically overreact on social media the way I wish I had, but you would have heard me, hooting and hollering at this pick. 'Cause I love it.
Nice. In the fifth round, 155th overall, it appears as though the Stars picked up an agitator in Ryan Brown. Tell us about the man, 18 years old, from the Sarnia Sting of the OHL.
Yeah, well, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't like super lights out with the Sarnia Sting, but once he got traded to the London Knights, that's when he really started to pick things up, and really when he just went off. As a player, you know, Ryan Brown is kind of, he reminds me, I think I'm kind of writing like draft grades for tomorrow. And one of the descriptions I used for him was kind of a combo of Angus McDonald and Antonio Strangis. So for like prospect nerds, you'll know exactly kind of what that means because he is skilled, but he's very tenacious.
I thought you were going to bring up Britzkovian.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, yes, that is.
Yeah.
Why did I take the scenic route?
I'll help you at any time, sir. Hire me as your draft expert.
Thank you, Gavin. Yes. Yeah, like I'm assuming that's exactly what they saw. He is like a Ritz-Covian. I would say his offense is much more natural, though, Ryan Brown. I think the thing with Brown is kind of he was on a stacked London Knights team. So how much of his production was really him driving play and how much was, based on his teammates, I think is a real question. Dallas is clearly betting on the fact that he was really the kind of driver there. I will say, some other guys that were on the board at the time that Dallas passed on that I liked, Cooper Williams, Yaroslav Fedoseyev, a Russian right shot defender that I profiled at the Substack and that ended up going to Toronto. Cooper Williams actually went to Toronto as well. It should be noted. And of course, Toronto, who, poached Mark Leach from Dallas, right? Used to, be one of Dallas' scouts. There was some talent left on board, but Ryan Brown, solid player. I like the pick.
Okay. A lot of times we have new listeners of Spits and Suds, and I really like to break it down. And I think this is really interesting regarding the Ontario Hockey League and just junior hockey in general, because a guy like Ryan Brown is picked in the fifth round. Then we drop to the seventh round with the Stars and Jesper Kuta. And you look at the stats, just the stats, 19-year-old, 63 points in 62 regular seasons for the Ottawa 67s. Now, and he also played pretty well for Team Finland in the U-20 World Juniors, 8 points in 7 games played. Why does a player like that drop to the seventh round and is not as sexy?
So, you know, this is, we're like, I think for, yeah, for people that are new, it may seem kind of strange, but it's really based on sort of how development happens. And I think we all kind of have a sense of this, right? Which is that, you know, typically if a young, you know, the younger a player is and the more talent they're able to show on ice, and you see this all the time with, you know, first round picks that end up playing in the NHL, the sooner they can make the NHL, chances are the better they are. And so the reason why someone like Jesper Kuta fell is because he was born October 28, 2006. So he has a year plus of experience on the other players he's playing against. So you'll see that pretty much all the time, right? You have older players on a roster, they're going to produce more. Why? Because, well, you know, they're more advanced physically. They're more advanced in terms of experience. And chances are they're also playing heavy minutes because, you know, those junior coaches trust them. They, you know, they're essentially veterans for all intents and purposes. So the reason why, you know, players like Kuta fall is because, well, you know, the reason that overagers fall in general, right? Which is that if they were as good as the numbers say they are, well, then those numbers would have shown up a year ago, or even the season before that, maybe even their pre-draft year. Every now and then you still get, you know, you can still end up with overagers that end up, you know, popping off eventually. But nonetheless, like, that's essentially why, right?
Okay.
You know, development tends to happen on a curve. So, you know, when teams are picking in this draft, chances are they're looking at, you know, and this is one of the reasons why there's kind of a bias against birth dates, right? The younger a player is, you know, sort of, and the more they've shown, the better. And so, so that's basically it, right? I mean, you should be interested. Like, the youngest players still have room to grow. Somebody like Kuta, you get what you get, right? He doesn't have room to grow. That was his ceiling there, right? Because he's going to the University of Massachusetts next year to be playing college. So his ceiling was a point per game player, which is okay, but, you know, at that age, less so.
But then, to your point, could you say the same thing then about Stars top prospect Emil Hemming, because he's 20 and just played junior hockey, and this was his best year in juniors?
Yes, but the difference is that Hemming is, I think, pretty much the same age as Kuta, but Hemming had, I think, 61 points, but that was because he played like 40-something games, right? So if you, you know, if he had played a full season, or if he had played as many games as Kuta, he would have had over 90 points. Okay. You still raise like an interesting point, because I do think this is kind of one of the critical, you know, I think Emil Hemming, as I've said before, I think he'll get games in the NHL this year. Again, I'm on an island with that, and that's fine with me. But it is important to note, because that's precisely why I think, to the extent that there is criticism of Hemming, that's it, right? Which is that Hemming is not, you know, some sort of blue chip offensive, you know, terror or anything like that, right? Like, he's not a guy that's going to come in and put up 70 points. I think Hemming, you know, tops out as a middle six winger that can, you know, play both sides of special teams, like at a pinch. But you know, he didn't produce like Cameron Schmidt did. But then again, we get into like, well, which league is tougher, right? Hemming played in the OHL, Cameron Schmidt played in the WHL, which, you know, tends to have inferior competition. Also, one of the reasons probably why Daxon Rudolph, right, was chosen over, say, like Chase Reed. So yeah, there's so many like interlocking parts here when it comes to kind of analyzing the draft. Part of what makes it so fun as well, and one of the reasons why hockey is so much trickier than other sports when it comes to drafting.
Do we want to talk about the Stars draft pick, the goaltender from Denmark, Anton Larsson?
Do you want to talk about him?
I am the second best goalie prospect picker on this podcast, minus Sean Shapiro. Although my goaltending picks have been spot on. You know, I had Germany nailed. This one I got to do a deep dive on. So in the sixth round, 187 overall, 18 years old, 6'4". We'll have to see about him. And then the Stars picked up another defenseman, David, in the seventh round, if you want to talk about him.
Yeah, so I guess real quick, like the only thing I knew about Anton Emil Wild Larsen, which is the Danish goaltender they picked, you look at his stats, they're really bad, right? And again, this is why, you know, this guy goes in the late rounds, you know, sixth and seventh round, right? A lot of what captures any team's attention will be, and I'm sure we recall them all, right? Will be those games, especially on the international stage, right? Especially in the World Juniors, right? Players that pop off at just the right time, players that give you that performance where you're like, that was brilliant. Maybe he has that more. Maybe that's more of who he can be. Not saying it's a good way to draft. Nonetheless, yep. it can be, right? And so that's the case with the Danish goaltender they picked. And I actually remember watching this game. I wasn't paying attention to him because I was just like, oh, Team USA is just so much superior to the Team Denmark. But nonetheless, there was that game versus Team USA where he only let in two goals despite the fact that Team USA put over 50 shots on him. So I'm sure that's kind of what they were looking at. I'll post some clips that I found of him on the StarStack piece that I'll have tomorrow on the trade grades. And when you look at him, like, man, a lot of shoulder checking, man. He fights to see through traffic. He seems like, to the extent that a goalie can be a battler, that seems kind of that's kind of his profile. But again, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about goaltending and certainly about like his season. I think he only played 13 games in the Denmark's professional league. So couldn't tell you much about him except what I just said.
Yeah. And in their final pick, Mikhail Sharapanov from they're based here in Dallas, the league headquarters, the NAHL, the NAHL, played for the New Hampshire Mountain Kings this past year. And he, the defenseman from Russia, will not be returning to Russia, but instead will be going to Lake Superior State University next year. Stay in the NAHL and then maybe go to Lake Superior State. It says 27-28, elite prospect says.
Right. Well, so quick correction, right? He should be drafted in the CHL next season, He's committed to Lake Superior State University right after that.
Got it.
So I'm actually surprised I haven't been more critical of the previous pick. Like, my issue with like pretty much all the picks after Vanacek is that I just felt like there was superior talent on board. And I profiled the big left winger, Landon Ammerhein, Darren Rolsing, the big right shot German goaltender, Yuri Kamas, the, I can't remember if he was Slovakian or Czech, right shot defenseman that I thought was kind of really interesting, actually a little like Vanacek. There were guys that went undrafted that I would have preferred over this guy. But if you watch his clips, Dallas is clearly betting on just raw tools. He's not a super big defender, right? And of course he's a left shot. Dallas just refuses to draft right shot defenders. 6'1", 187 pounds, 31 points in the NAHL means nothing, but you watch him and like, man, his skills stand out. Smooth skating, really a beautiful skater, and seems to have some real chops in terms of in zone playmaking, right? From a blue liner. So I don't know if that means like he kind of tops out as kind of like a rover type or just kind of your classic puck mover. But I guess I actually like this pick more than the Kuta, Larson and the Brown picks, just because it seemed like they're really just kind of betting on his kind of raw tools, which I think are enticing. So I like this pick.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, let's go league-wide before we say goodbye to David. This has been extremely informative. Seven teams per ESPN picked up an A grade. Some picked up an A++. Let's go through them and get David's thoughts on who had a great draft and who didn't necessarily have the best draft. ESPN gives an A++ to the San Jose Sharks, an A+ to the Toronto Maple Leafs, Anaheim Ducks. Boy, they just continue to bolster with young talent. They get an A in this draft. The Predators get an A in this draft per ESPN. The Pittsburgh Penguins get an A in this draft with the drafting of their Twins. And the Los Angeles Kings get an A-. David, your thoughts on those teams? Who do you think? I think you read every article they're saying San Jose and Mike Greer maximizing the picks that he had did not trade. I thought for a second maybe he'd bolster his lineup immediately, maybe pick up a veteran, but instead uses those draft picks to get Ivar Sternberg, to get Keaton Verharov. Yeah, those are three. And I was listening to Mike Greer today. He was raving about Ryan Lynn, their third pick in the first round at number 21. What'd you think of San Jose?
So can I talk about San Jose by starting by talking about Jason Robertson?
I honestly threw that out with Sean on our podcast on Friday as a potential destination because I thought Anaheim or San Jose made sense for a couple of reasons. Jason Robertson wants to go to a contender, and both those teams are on the verge, and maybe his mindset is, I can help take them over the top. Secondarily, it is close to his family, and he grew up in California. So I thought San Jose and Anaheim might have been destinations for Jason Robertson.
Well, I was actually going at it from a different angle, which is that, you know, a team like San Jose and the draft they just had, I think really emphasizes how critical it is that Dallas, if they intend to make the most of this cup window, like can't miss on this. Whatever you think about kind of what the right move is, right? Whether it's trading Robertson or keeping Robertson, that move has to work long-term because the San Jose Sharks in say like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years for sure, like this is a team that looks like the pieces are there to truly like to win a cup. And yes, they've relied on sort of luck sacking into Macklin Celebrini. The fact that they had second overall, like Stenberg is just like, I love the guy. I mean, for those that don't know, his point pace is for a similar player in his cohort, right? Swedish players his age is right there with the Sedins, Peter Forsberg, Kevin Fiala, right? So they're getting like a serious like player that's going to plug into the lineup next season. Verhoff, you know, like 6'4", right shot defender, kind of does it all. Ryan Lynn, to me, belonged in the same tier as the Daxon Rudolphs, Keaton Verhoffs, Albert Smiths, Carson Carrolls. And the only reason why he didn't is because he's 5'11 and 180 pounds. But he is, to me, Ryan Lynn is the absolute truth. And it's like, I really cannot say enough about like how well they draft. They didn't even have a lot of picks, right? They only had 6 picks in this draft because, you know, they traded a lot of picks to kind of move up in the first round. And so I'm really impressed by what San Jose has done. I think, you know, they've absolutely, they killed it this draft, and just not a whole lot to say, man. That is an absolute killer draft. It's the kind of draft that sort of kind of like with Dallas in 2017, although maybe we're looking at it differently in light of the current saga. But you know, the kind of draft that Dallas saw in 2017, like it's on par with that. So. You want to move on to, by the way, speaking of Toronto, as great as McKenna is, I don't think he was automatically, it should not have been an assumption that McKenna was the number one overall pick. I think Toronto made the right choice, but I think history kind of might sort of look at that differently. I think the reason why Toronto killed it is because the rest of their draft was just fantastic. I love defender Ethan McKenzie. He was a player that I thought Dallas should consider taking. Toronto got him in the third round. Mans Gudmundsson, big Swedish right shot defender, all sticking in the third round, is another player that I thought Dallas would consider. And then, of course, some of the other guys I kind of mentioned in the later rounds. One of the reasons why I was kind of critical of Dallas' other picks that Toronto got between Cooper Williams and Yaroslav Fedosejov. Again, really great, a deep draft for them, in addition to McKenna, who – Whatever his faults, is absolutely on that Patrick Kane. I don't quite think he's on Kucherov's level, but he's close.
Yeah, I think when you have someone of the hype train of Gavin McKenna, it is very, very tough not to pick him number one. At the same time, I did think it was interesting. Once again, going back to the Mike Greer press conference that I was watching, he was asked point blank where he had Stenberg. He said he was our top overall pick. So yeah, they had him number one on the board. So, you know, you're right. A lot of people, I think, had Stenberg over McKenna, which is interesting.
Well, I think that the thing with Stenberg is that you have a forward that has already played in a pro league. So he's going to be able to play for you right away. In addition to the fact that he just has a much more complete offensive game. And I don't think McKenna is bad defensively per se, but he's not like Stenberg, who's heavy on the forecheck and sort of just kind of does all the things that translate well. You know, being able to play along the wall, being able to play through contact, being able to move the puck in corners, and sort of doing things the way you expect blue chip talent to excel at, you know, with in terms of puck skill, but also being able to play that sort of that gritty offense. You know, again, I've always kind of taken aim at sort of, you know, the way people talk about offense and the way they view sort of defense as something that's some requires hard work and it's harder to do as opposed to offense. It's just all about natural talent. No, that's not how it works at all. I mean, Carolina and Vegas, perfect example of what it takes to excel offensively and the hard work that's required and that goes into it. And Stenberg's a much better, I think, representation of that style than say someone like McKenna. So yeah, just absolutely killed it. And by the way, you mentioned Nashville. Also, I loved getting Wyatt Cullen at 10, Tommy Blail and at the end of the first. Nashville is a team that just in the past, I just kind of have wondered what the heck they're doing, but killed it with those first two picks. So yeah, well-deserved A for Nashville from ESPN on that one.
Yeah, I also want to add, I mentioned trades and focused on the Central Division, but Las Vegas trading Dorofeev just once again. I mean, Vegas pulls the trigger. New York Rangers, I think they got a good one. And I know it might have come down to salary cap, but man, watching him in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I thought he was really tough to cover. I really liked that player a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic. And I think the sort of the price tag may be kind of a little high, but it's hard not to bet on him, especially after his performance in the postseason, because he was fantastic. And he wasn't just a player that was scoring goals and sort of, kind of quote unquote, getting lucky. No, he was creating his own luck, and he played tough, and he played a well-rounded player too. I don't think people saw that kind of defensive side of his game really kind of flourish in the playoffs the way it did.
You know, finally, David, I know it got buried in the news with all the trades and everything. There was a trade, and I wish the Stars would, even if he ended up at Cedar Park, I could have covered him and got myself an Ivan sweater. He is traded from Colorado system to Boston system. I wanted to end on a laugh, but because it's such a great name, Ivan.
It is, okay. The only thing is, and I'm not going to criticize your sense of humor, which is fantastic, Gavin. I love it. We all love it. That's why we listen. But Ivan does not in any way compare to the goaltender Blade Man Dixon. That's Blade Man hyphenated, which is a far a superior. And that is not a joke, by the way. That's a real, real player. I don't think he ever became anything, but nonetheless. Also, I'll never forget that I think like his mom liked a tweet that I mentioned where I kind of made some stupid joke about like hunting vampires and like it just I've tried to distance myself from social media as much as possible nowadays, but I thought that was funny that one of his parents kind of amused by me being amused by his fantastic name.
One of my favorite names of all time, because I remember growing up watching him, and I asked Craig about it, Craig Ludwig. I said, do you remember playing against one of the great names, Larry Playfair? And he said, yes, and he was anything but. So Larry was kind of dirty on the ice. So,
oh, man, it was who are we missing? Like Zarly Zalapsky,
There's, you know, we probably should do a podcast on just names and come up with various names throughout the years that have been, I mean, Miroslav Satan was pretty cool.
Yeah, but only if you pronounce it wrong.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. And you know, what's so fascinating is these players, like for instance, we have two, in the star system, we used to call him Liam Bixel, and now it's Bischel. We used to call Heiskanen, and now it's Heiskanen, but some people still call him Heiskanen. I know in Canada, it's Tyler Seguin, and here it's Tyler Seguin, so it is fascinating.
I mean, are those just simply like incorrect pronunciations though? Or are they,
no, I think that's the Canadian pronunciation. Honestly, I've never heard on Hockey Night in Canada or all the coverage that I watch in Canada. Elliot Friedman, maybe doesn't do it because he's on American TV a lot as well, but a lot of them pronounce it Seguin.
By the way, like I apologize for multitasking. Usually I like to stay focused, concentrate on what you're saying. I don't like to do other like tasks while I'm talking to you because I feel like that's rude. But given what we were talking about, I had to go and check. And I'm like, look, I guess Elite Prospects has has something for awesome player names. And I'm looking at Dick Duffy. I remember Jeff Bookaboom, Bill Quackenbush. Never heard of that guy. That's pretty beauty. Awesome. Brad Bombardier, Bob Beers.
Oh yeah, Bob Beers played for the Bruins. Yeah, Bob Beers, I think, still might be the color analyst. I'm not sure.
Wait a minute. Oh my God, Morris Titanic. there's one more in here, but it's like such a like a juvenile like PG-13 joke. I'm not going to repeat it, but I'll
see. Dick Clapper,
Harry Dick. But anyways.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's also. There was also a Hall of Famer named Dit Clapper, DITCLAPPER.
I mean, I feel like we've sort of reached the nadir of this podcast.
Yeah, it's fine. We have a 9-year-old that listens, and I like to make him laugh every once in a while.
What? Oh my God. Yeah. That's kind of awesome, but also a little worrying.
I saw him at the Stars Prospect Tournament, and, he's like, yeah, listen. I said, I'm not going to swear. He's like, no, please swear. So there you go. But I'm not going to swear because, you know, we have to teach our young. But I'm glad he's learning hockey, and I'm glad he's learning from you, David Castillo. Now you can relax for, I don't know, 2 or 3 days until free agency starts. But you did mention, so let's give it one more plug, coming up on your Stars Stack Substack, which everyone should subscribe to. You are going to do your draft grades, right?
Yes. Tomorrow, 8:30 in the morning. This will be for paid subscribers, however. Kind of like a full audit, right? So kind of some of what I talked about today, but a little bit more in depth, also like clips for all the players. And also, in addition, I'll be doing an updated ranking, right? So I now have, it used to be like a top nine. It's kind of what I had for Dallas's best prospects, 23 and under. Now it's a top 12 with the new faces. So yeah, man, check that out. It's always a lot of fun. Always love to talk about prospects, and I love the fact that you kind of have me on here to talk about them, because I you're not going to admit it out loud, but I will, which is, I know the numbers aren't as good whenever you do a show about prospects, but and I can speak from experience. But nonetheless, listen, man, I'm not judging anybody that doesn't follow them. I don't even think people realize that if you want to watch, for example, Brandon Gorzynski, who is a left wing prospect that I really like for Dallas, or say Jacob Vanacek, the defenseman they just drafted that I am over the moon over, just go to Victory Plus. They cover WHL games.
The fact that you did not give me credit for saying exactly where J.P. Herbert, the Allen native, was going to go in this draft just continues to admit someday I will get the credibility on David Castillo's list.
I when you start talking about prospects that aren't from Texas, then I'll give you just like a little bit more credit.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Okay. David also has another Substack called Sticks and Salvos, and he has a Dallas Stars Discord, and that is completely free. And you can go on there and you can talk like I do with other Stars fans. So David's very active on there, and it's a fun place to go, kind of like a message board. So you can go on there and see what's going on in Stars Land and get people's opinions. So that's also hosted
real quick,
by David.
Just a quick question. Are you active on there, Gavin?
I sure am, sir.
You trailed off, my God. Yeah, reminds me of the Army of Darkness scene where he's trying to like repeat the words, but he can't remember them.
I do. I post. I'll post this podcast, or you'll post this podcast. I'll see it. So
that,
yeah.
Listen, that is a sort of, I take a tone of love. I would just love to see you post more often because the people want it, and actually, people are always tagging you just like for the sake of it. Maybe because I'm just kind of like, always like poking you to sort of post more, but
I do need to be more active, and I do need to tell people my old school thoughts and how high I am on Michael Kesselring next year, things like that. So,
Man, I forgot about San Jose trading for Kesselring. Yeah. Another really good pickup, by the way. That is just like nonsense, man. The Kesselring, like, there were very obvious explanations for why Kesselring struggled last season. Injuries, and then, of course, just Lindy yep. Ruff's complete hatred. The guys they had over him were not better. I mean, Zach Metsa, yeah. I think it's like a real player, but Connor Timmins, Logan Stanley, Luke Shen, no. Kesselring, he's going to prove it next season, mark my words. Mark Gavin's words, too, because he's always a big Utah fan, former Utah.
Every single time he gets his shots in, the greatness of David Castillo. All right, we'll talk to you. We had a busy, busy week on Spits and Suds as free agency is coming upon us. We have restricted free agent Jason Robertson. We have restricted free agent Maverick Bork. You know we'll be putting out the podcast as things happen. We'll obviously do some free agency recaps. We'll talk about the Stars a lot. So please hit that subscribe button and tell your friends. It's going to be a busy week in NHL hockey. The place to be is Spits and Suds. We really want to continue to grow as we continue into this 2026-27 season. Thanks to the on-time experts. They are awesome for sponsoring this program. Also, thanks to our producer, Gregory Finley. Until our next podcast, which will happen real soon, have a great day, everyone.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.